Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Dr. Rose Gamblin and Paul Tulin.
Well, welcome to Education Currents, and we're glad you could be with us today. Today, we're kind of a somber day. It's how to bulletproof your kids, and we're going to be talking about the Chardon, Ohio school shooting, and from that, some of the things that you can do to make sure your students are safe at school. You know, it's a very strange thing. In the 1950s, the number one problems in high schools was gum chewing. That was the number one infraction. And now today we're sending kids to school, and we are hearing about, since Columbine, we're hearing about people being, you know, really hurt seriously. Now, in Chardon, Ohio, this young man walked into a school, and from what I understand, at least from the reports so far, he wasn't a student at that school. But he walked into the cafeteria with a knife and a .22, and he opened fire, and he hit several people. I think he hit four students, mm-hmm. and three of them have died. And, you know, their lives are gone. These young people, they went to school, and their lives were taken. And, you know, it's you know, to get into the reasons why, I believe personally, and I'm convinced beyond a doubt, that as we as a society fall away from God, from a true belief in God, this kind of thing is going to happen, because more and more life becomes meaningless. Without God, life is meaningless. And kids, whether they know it intellectually or whether they just feel it, their meaningless has increased. Their meaninglessness has increased. And if we're just mere products of some kind of accident within the universe, and we will at some point vanish and be gone forever, then there really is no meaning in life, and there is no good and evil, and there is no, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing what you can to have power or to get noticed. This one is particularly hard to understand. Some people described him as a young man who'd been bullied. However, why didn't he go after his, you know, his tormentors instead of going into a school that
didn't even know him?
That didn't even know him and shoot strangers he didn't even know. There's something going on that in our society that's very troubling. Now, we can't fix our society, but we can come up with some ideas both for schools and for parents to help protect your children in, you know, in the case that something like this should happen. I worked in a small school where we after the Columbine shooting, where they came up with plans. There's also at that time a real, the Gulf Wars were in the middle of being fought, the first Gulf War. And so there was a...
And there was that sniper going around
right,
D.C.
So there was a high alert, and there was all kinds of plans about how they were going to protect the kids. And they had drills where they would sound a special alarm, and then everybody would turn the lights out and get away from the doors and try to, you know, block any visual sight from coming in. And it was all well and good to a certain extent, except we had portable classrooms. So when the alarm went off and everybody locked the doors and hid, the guys out in the portable classroom came, and they were knocking on the outsides of the doors.
And let me in.
Getting picked off out here. And you know, so there seemed to be no perfect way. And when I moved then from that school to a large public school, you know, they had a key card system, but we had a reporter from the local newspaper, and he was going around irritating the spirit out of the principals around, because he would go around and wait at various doors till students came out, and then he would sneak in, and then he'd walk in the principal's office and say, "Aha, I got in," and he'd do a report on there. So as you can imagine,
on their security.
Yeah, as you can imagine, he was very unpopular.
But a point well taken.
Yeah, but what could they do even with the key card system when you have tons of kids going in and out? It can be difficult. I mean, children often could go by themselves to get a drink. They could see the door, and if somebody was at the door and waved at them, you know, they mm-hmm. often, even if they were told, they often would go down and let the person in. So, you know, in a recess time, you have, several hundred kids heading out to the playground at once.
Yes.
Or, you know, a person could sit around and get their hands on an old card and have it around their neck so they look like they belonged. So it was a very, very difficult thing as far as from a school's point of view of how you have control. You don't want to set your schools up so that you had, you know, you have chain link fence around them and you have razor wire looped around the top, mm-hmm. and then you have guard dogs and then you have metal detectors when the students come in. I mean, that's would be very expensive, and it would, I think it would put a damper on the educational experience at a school like that. It would be more like a prison. And yet, you know, so how do you, you know, how would you have stopped this guy that decided he wanted to come in, you know, and sit in the cafeteria with a .22 hidden in his...
Yeah.
And then just start shooting people. So, you know, that's where we stand. What are some of the things, though, that you think practically in the education, reviewing in your mind the education institutions you've taught at or been principal of, what are some of the things that you could have done or have done in the past that could help secure students?
Well, of course, we want our students to be well-grounded in the Lord. We want them, that's the biggest thing, first of all. Parents need to make sure that their children are not acting out of fear, but faith, that they can move about, you know, in a faithful manner. But on a temporal plane, as a principal, when all this stuff started happening with 9/11 and the snipers and everything, we went and we got a Marine, an ex-Marine. We said, would you help us with a safety plan? And I'm telling you, if you ever want to feel like Fort Knox, get an ex-Marine to help you with a safety plan. I mean, those poor parents, when they started being briefed on his plan, he even had if there was a nuclear explosion, what we were going to do. And so we probably took it to an extreme. We actually set out our perimeter at the parking lot where the cars came in, and we gave every car that should be bringing in somebody, we gave them a pass just to hold up to the window. And of course, somebody could have duplicated that if they really wanted to get in. We didn't have a fence or anything, but it did increase the level, and we manned it by volunteers. He got other veterans and ex-Marines, and they all carefully came and did their watch every day while we were in school. And it gave the parents a degree of comfort, even though, yeah, I mean, really, if someone wanted to come in, they could have, but no, these ex-Marines were there protecting us. So that was kind of cute.
I think most of that, because I know within the public school system, they have there's a duck and cover, there's the cover in place, there's a series of them, and I guarantee you this high school had those same things.
Oh, I do too. I know.
But
last year we actually, I think we did it to help the students be cognizant of letting people into the school, because we did it monthly where we did the...
But what do you do when it's a student, see, that comes in and is in the cafeteria as a student? You know, so how do you protect them within? Is it a legitimate thing to profile students? And, I mean, we can recognize certain factors that would increase.
It is absolutely, I think, imperative to profile students, not necessarily in a negative way, but we are in the last professional development class that I went to, that was one of the big things they suggested. You need to know your students. And the best way to know your students is to create some little profile on them. So by every teacher knowing who their students are and the main people knowing who their students are, that is one of the biggest safety factors.
Well, you know, if we have especially if you're getting into high school students, we have in this country, if you're a sexual predator, you have to register after you've done your time and come out, and you have to register and be registered. And in our state here now, they're also wanting to have a law that if you abuse animals, you have to register. You're a registered animal abuser. The idea being that a lot of people who abuse and kill animals end up moving on to doing it to humans. So if you had that with you know, if you knew that a high school student coming into your classroom had been involved in arson and had been involved in torture and mm-hmm. death of animals, I mean, those are high risk factors then for, you know, somebody who might do something like this.
Yes. We got to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to start right where we're at, because we want to make our children as safe as possible. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
Why do boys torment girls? Why are they so gross?
Boys who torment girls, or do stuff that's disgusting, want attention, plain and simple. They've discovered effective ways to make people drop whatever they're doing and focus even for just a moment on their strange actions. As children grow up, they find a rather disturbing trend taking place in their lives. They're no longer the center of attention. While their cute antics used to bring a joyful response from friends and family, now no one seems to be interested. Youngsters find that they have to be more disturbing to get a rise out of anyone. Some guys entering their teens get carried away, making life miserable for others. Add to this the uncertainty boys feel about girls and, well, you seem to be familiar with the results. Here's an effective way to deal with the situation. When a guy does something to torment you, just say, "Please don't do that." Then ignore him. If he acts gross, turn away and concentrate on something else. When guys don't get the attention they're craving, they usually give up. The Apostle Paul suggests that we run with patience the race that is set before us, Hebrews 12:1. Life is filled with people who like to torment or gross us out. Get used to it.
I'll try.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's Treasure Chest.
Hi, I'm Marty Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. These days, the news seems to constantly remind us of the growing number of suicides in our culture. Our government tries to offer programs that they think will fix the cause of this terrible tragedy in our society. Programs might help, but they do not solve the real problem. Christian songwriter Andre Crouch once wrote, "Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is the way." So when you begin to feel that there is no hope, try Jesus Christ. He is the answer for the world today. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome back to Education Currents. We're talking about bulletproofing your kids when they go to school. This day and age, we're kind of bouncing off the Chardon, Ohio shooting that happened just recently. And we can go back to Columbine and back to the one where the students threw the fire alarm in and tried to shoot the kids as they came out. I mean, just what? It boggles the mind. I mean, when I went to school, you know, the running in the hall might be the worst thing that could happen. You know, I mean, it was just a safe place to go, and you just went to school and you did your thing and you went home. And
but now our schools are getting very large. They're a microcosm of society, and it's becoming, there's evil in there with some wonderful people.
But with the breakdown and the lack of God in our society, it cannot be overstated that this is really causing a great deal of damage. People won't admit to that.
Well, I think that's why so many students, even though cell phones aren't allowed in our county, every student has a cell phone. I think it has given parents some degree of comfort to know that they can reach their child and their child can reach them through the cell phone. So that could be something that we could say, if you can't afford it, make sure your child has a cell phone and has a cell phone that has a tracking device in it or a GPS. So your child, you know, is going there with a sense of calmness, a sense of knowing who they are and whose they are. They're obedient. Many times just obeying the authority, you know, get down, go here, do this. And kids, let's face it, there's this it's like a game to them. They really think they're bulletproof, and they think the rules are meant to see how they can...
Until the bullets start really pinging off, and then they get quite... I mean, some of the stories that these students tell, it was a terrifying time for them when the real stuff started happening. I mean, I remember being a kid, you know, and sitting in the tree with my friend saying, yeah, I got a baseball bat, and if a thief comes in my house, I'll just beat him up. I'll just whack him over the head, and then... One night you're laying there and you hear a noise and you're frozen with fright and you can't even move from your covers. You're shaking so hard.
Yes.
You know, so that when the reality comes, suddenly it's like, oh. So we want to give them, our kids, a good spiritual foundation, because there is a protection that is for eternity. It may not be in this life, and it may be too. I mean, that's up to God. But we do know that there's more than just this life. There's a lot more to be gained. So that's a good start. And then, you know, the second thing is following the rules. So that's what we got. We want to make sure they follow the rules that are given to them. Is there any place for a parent to go to the school and ask what the plans are in case of emergency?
As you're listening to this show, if you don't come away with anything else except go and insist on knowing what the plans are. And don't just settle for the notebook. All schools now have a notebook, and this is the page that you do if it's for, you know, this is our fire drill, and then you turn the page, and this is our tornado drill, and you turn the page, and, you know, this is our earthquake drill, and you turn the page, and this is our intruder drill.
So would you suggest parents actually go over that with their kids?
I would suggest that the parents go over it with their kids, and not only that, actually ask to be present during those drills.
Yeah. Now, is there any danger, though, do you see, in frightening the children so much, because, you know, we have this huge anticipation of these problems, and we keep practicing all this stuff, and some kids may become afraid, just, you know, have traumatic stress syndrome from...
Well, it's true, you have to have that kind of balance. I don't want kids to be frightened. But I know that when I was a principal in Simi Valley, California, a new principal, and they said, you need to have an earthquake plan. And so I did. I followed everything, and I'm going, man, even to the plan of how we would dispose of dead bodies, you know? It was very detailed, and I sent my plan into the head office, and then... The Northridge earthquake happened 7 miles from the school. Fortunately, all the students were at home, but it gave the parents a great deal of confidence in our school, because we actually were the only school that had gotten the plan done and had it in place.
Let's review. We want to make sure that we give our kids a good spiritual foundation for eternity, so that whatever may happen on this earth, they're ready. And then we want to make sure that when they get to school, that they follow the authorities. They know what the authorities are going to tell them. They trust the authorities at the school in case something happens. And three, they know the plans really well of what they're supposed to do in any given emergency situation. And that the parent, if possible, can come in and sit on the drills to see.
Well, and I think every school really needs to embrace technology as part of their security plan. There needs to be cameras. They're not allowed to have cell phones, but I think even at least the school I was at understood the importance of unless that, you know, as long as that cell phone was hidden, we didn't do any searches for cell phones. If the cell phone came out during class, yeah, we could confiscate it, but the parents and the students realized that was part of the safety component, is the parents could get a hold of their children. And I think, I don't think it would be bad at all to have hallways and that kind of thing with cameras, that parents could actually go in and you could say, okay, we're going to do a drill on such and such a time. Go to the website and you'll see the whole drill transpiring. The only thing is, of course, it gives the criminals that information as well.
Yeah. But then also, to a certain degree, I would promote profiling. So that, I mean, if you decided to do, and they do, random locker checks, wouldn't it be smarter, instead of random locker checks, to go to the troubled kids' lockers?
Yes.
To make sure? I mean, if you're inspecting little Missy, who's, you know, a cheerleader, and versus you know, maybe a Patricia who's an angry, threatened people before and, you know, has bragged to others that she has knives. Or it might be a smart idea to kind of have a profile list of those that we need to go and check more consistently.
Yes.
And I know we're very afraid of that in America. We don't want to profile anybody, but I would rather, you know, on airplanes, for instance, to kind of make an analogy, if you get in an airplane, it doesn't make sense to see a blonde 6-year-old getting wanded, you know,
yes.
And then comes in behind and walks straight through, you know.
Yes.
Let's, you know, use some common sense. And for our safety, we do without prejudice, though, but you do it with some intelligence so that we have, you know, what can you say about a disaster like this? I mean, if your child were injured or hurt or killed in something like this, how's that justifiable? Because I didn't want to profile this, you know, and in many of these cases, this one is a very puzzling one, but in some of the past cases, people said they knew that this student was troubled and they knew they were, you know, they worried about them or they, you know, and so there should have been a little bit tighter rein on them.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back.
Our public schools aren't worth squat, Charles said to me. We were eating lunch at Subway and the topic of education had come up again. You know, I send my kids to public school. Seems like all they learn is new bad habits. Then he looked up at me and brightened. Hey, he said, you want to come see my new big screen TV? Hi, I'm Paul Tooley and I'd like to share an education moment with you. Many parents today feel that public schools do not serve their children's educational needs adequately. Yet, when you bring up the subject of private education, they claim it's too expensive. If you go to their houses, you'll find SUVs parked in their driveways, large screen TVs in their living room, and every person in the household owning a cell phone. It's really not a matter of money as much as it is a matter of priority. Where do your priorities lie when it comes to your kids' education?
This education moment has been brought to you by EducationCurrents.com. That's educationcurrents.com.
Well, we're coming to the end of our show, and I don't like to end without having some spiritual connection.
Well, I think at the beginning of the show, the number one thing is our spiritual connection. Make sure your kids are ready for eternity, because what happens here on this earth can be upsetting, but what would be truly, truly, truly a tragedy would be to miss the grace of Christ and what he did for all of us with such an amazing... I mean, it takes your breath away. So yes. You would not want to squander that gift that the Son of God gave to all of us that will give us all at one point an eternity together.
Yes. So be sure to go to educationcurrents.com or visit us on Facebook. And we have one last thing to say, and that is
keep on learning.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this and other programs, or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.